Interesting developments recently. And I have to honestly say, I'm encouraged by what Jason Williams is doing relative to this criminal blight. The fact that he recently charged a real estate developer with racketeering and criminal blight. One would have thought maybe a more proactive code enforcement office would have shut some of this down, but obviously not. I'm sure they worked in concert with the DA, so I'll give credit where credit's due. And if it takes the DA to do this moving forward, I'm happy about it. I wish he had the appropriate number of people working in his organization so that we could engage in some of these same activities as it relates to all of the responsibilities that the District Attorney of New Orleans has. He names 24 properties that this individual owns, and the individual's name is Edward Neil Morris III, who owns a dozen or so properties across New Orleans. And he brings all of those properties that he owns through a multitude of LLCs that were the owners of these properties that faced repeated code violation. And the DA says that this is a case of a patchwork of corporate entities to shield themselves from accountability, obviously from liability, and a whole bunch of other things. It's a tool that you use legally. But obviously, this individual has let these properties fall into a condition that's not healthy for the neighborhood, not healthy from a public health standpoint, from a criminal enterprise standpoint, and the like. And it's just dragging down the value of properties in those neighborhoods. This is something that we've needed to have done for a long, long time, folks. If you recall, in the aftermath of Katrina, there were about 30-some-odd thousand blighted homes that we had identified here in the city of New Orleans. There are a number of mayors that have talked about initiatives to go after the blighted homeowners. I'm told that they had kind of reduced that number down to about 20-something thousand. I'm not sure exactly where that number is now. I'm going to try and find out. But it's something that we need to address sooner rather than later. When you start adding housing stock, availability of affordable housing, and all of these other factors I talked about yesterday, just the appearance of we can't keep our inmates in our jail. They're getting out. We're in a competition business for population, right? And we're the ones paying the price, not the sheriff, not others, right? And we have to be clicking on all cylinders to make this place attractive. I mean, this is a city that once had over 600,000 people. We don't have 400,000 today. That's why we're a third-tier city. We don't get to a second-tier city till we have a more economic diversity here and a more robust population base. There's an article in NOLA.com, I think it was posted yesterday, actually this morning, according to 2024 U.S. Census data and U-Haul mid-year migration data, seems as though that New Orleans is losing population faster than any other city in the state, and it seems that they're going to four cities that they like: Houston, Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio, all within a day's ride of the place that they once called home. Two-thirds of the parishes in this state continue to struggle to retain their populations. This is not good for us. And that's why we need to take care of these little things like this. Because these are problems that lead to bigger problems. These are blisters on the underbelly of this city. And we have to deal with this. So I give kudos to Jason Williams for doing so. I hope there are more to come. because maybe that will set the tone, send the message, and people will start to remediate their properties, take care of their properties, clean up their properties, cut the grass, pick up the trash, and the like. And we can begin to change this culture of noncompliance that we have wallowed in for a long, long time. You hadn't heard that in a long time, right? The culture of noncompliance. That's a culture embedded here in so many different ways. And until we root that culture out, we will not markedly improve ourselves here. And blighted property is the classic byproduct of that culture. It's all about the property owner. They don't care about what goes on in their neighborhood. Not at all. You know, it's funny. Every day I go outside my house and pick up trash that I saw that morning when I go to the coffee shop. I make it my business. Sometimes I even get on my bike and go pick it up. Why? Because it's a representation of my neighborhood. As people drive through my neighborhood, the one thing that I would really love them to say is that it's clean. And what do they draw from that? These people give a damn. I've had the opportunity to drive downtown for about the last, almost every day for the last 4 or 5 days. The interstate is filthy. What does it take to get a street sweeper to do the interstate twice a week? It cannot cost that much. But I can assure you that every conventioneer that comes to this town, by the time they get to their hotel, have decided that this city is filthy. It's embarrassing. Embarrassing that we can't keep that stretch of highway from the airport to downtown New Orleans clean. The stuff that's falling off of our automobiles, bumpers, tires, rims, it's amazing. One would think that our cars are put together like Lego pieces that just drop off at whatever point when they get loose. It's crazy. I mean, it's nuts what we see on the side of the interstate. But for whatever reason, we can't seem to get it cleaned up. And it's really improved in many other ways. Like, you know, the new Fox 8 office building, beautiful building. The new golf course complex at night, all lit up. Absolutely incredible, you know, to look at. The sheriff, for the most part, has kept that wall on along the interstate clean of graffiti. Of course, some knucklehead went out there and wrote something on the wall to make fun of her. Great, thank you. All the while not recognizing that when you do that, you know, every tourist that comes into town is drawn, their attention is drawn to that. Another sour note. Cutting off our nose to spite our face. But it's a collection of all of these little anecdotal duties that we have as it relates to our neighborhoods that we should only accept in our neighborhood what we would accept in our home, and that we should clean the place up. Always. This is all about leadership. The mayor's figuring out where she's traveling to next. I wish she would spend about an hour or two trying to figure out how many street sweepers we have and the value of getting the interstate cleaned up once or twice a week. because that stretch of highway is so very important to the first impression of every visitor here. The same reason we remove the people living under the interstate and why we've been after that challenge. When you exit a ramp, that is not the first thing that you should be seeing. Why do you think the big manufacturing plants that have located in Alabama and Mississippi and other places, you drive by them, right? The grass is cut, the garbage is picked up. It's one of the cleanest areas along the interstate that you're ever going to see. Why? Because they understand the marketing value of human nature, the first impression being the lasting impression. They get it. It's an easy buy. It's actually cheap. And it's not that hard to do. Right? Doesn't take a lot of training. Doesn't take a big investment in order to get that done. But the why is huge. Because people talk. People love to share positive experiences. Because we all know that we're facing all kinds of negative experiences each and every day. Life is tough. So human nature is you share these positive experiences. So why is it that our leadership cannot figure out how to keep the interstate clean? And again, I applaud the DA for going after folks that are doing the opposite in our neighborhoods, destroying them. Wealth is created with the investment in your home. The single largest investment that you will make in your life for most people, for almost everyone. And the equity in your home historically has been your future, has contributed to your ability to retire at some reasonable age and to afford things that maybe you could not afford it. You didn't have the ability to pay for or afford early onset in your life. These are all things that we should be concerned about as we think about these things. And one of the reasons I'm talking about this a lot now, folks, is y'all going to vote in October. I keep reminding you, please don't shut me down on this issue. It's a defining moment for this city. Oh, man, one of those overused terms, but it truly is. We're coming out of an 8-year administration that has been lost in the weeds. That's not to say that she hadn't done anything good. She has. But the vast majority of what she's left us with is not real positive. Not by any stretch of the imagination. And we have a lot of other elected individuals that are not leaving us in a better place than how they inherited their office. That's a shame. It's a pretty simple goal. Just a little bit of improvement. But we're not seeing it in a lot of different ways. The competencies of folks that we're putting in public office is waning. We're the ones to blame. These are not hard things to get done. Trash collection? Who'd have thunk it was going to be the most controversial issue for the last 7 months of this year? Why can't we get that right? We don't want to do the right thing. We want to do the political thing. The right thing is so much bigger and better and more beautiful than the political thing. But we've allowed this person to get away with this for a long, long time. We had an opportunity to boot her to the curb. We passed. We failed. And now we continue to pay the price. And hopefully we don't make these same mistakes again. And hopefully, from day one, we begin to hold them accountable. When they begin to assemble their administration, if they bring some of the incompetent fools that the previous Mayor Cantrell brought in, we need to call them out. That's not going to get it. We're not going to allow this to happen. No way, no how. You're not going to make a mockery of our city for the purposes of your politics. Because we have too much invested here. Time, effort, money, our kids, our lives. We want them to come back. The vast majority are not. It's on us. And it starts with these little things. So congrats to the DA. And I'm sure he had some help from code enforcement. To them as well, and whoever else helped in this endeavor. As we begin to hold these people accountable for the properties that they have here that are sucking the life out of our community. And it sends the message that we're not going to accept it any longer. We'll be right back. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll go to the talk lines in the next half hour. If someone calls, give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back.